But you got to understand that McLuhan was not a scientist, artist, sociologist, politician, or anything. Because he realized that we're resonating on this one zone, and one could not be anything in the resonating zone, the tactile integral that had been digitized. You could only be something as an art form, as an afterimage. So therefore, he would be an artist. He'd write books for artists. He'd write books for economists, like Take Today. He'd write books for linguists, like Cliché and Archetype. He'd write books for the population, the populace, pop culture, the medium massage. He'd write an academic book, The Gutenberg Galaxy. And he'd emphasize an academic as the source of it, Harold Innes. You have a building down here named after him. He was the top scholar in a lot of ways in Canada. So he emphasized Innes, but he doesn't emphasize Innes in other books. He'll emphasize James Joyce, Ezra Pound, or himself, what he had written before. So the thing is here is a guy who doesn't identify with any medium. He is acultural, like amoral, acultural. Jean Baudrillard said McLuhan was a musician. Has everyone thought of him as being a musician? But if they knew the history, and there's a new book out called McLuhan in Space, is that what it is? By Richard Cavell, an art teacher out in British Columbia. It's very good. He shows you what space McLuhan was working with, tactile space. You have read enough of the book to see. Yeah. But you see how he had to write many chapters to get you to see that. And it needs to go that, because he's got to work away your visual bias of what you think space is, right? And so he does arrive and show you what tactility is. So McLuhan's in tactile space. So the point is that McLuhan in tactile... So McLuhan's definition of imagination was that faculty which is not embedded in any sense or extension of the sense or technology. It's not embedded. To be free to play with a medium, you can't identify you with it. You have to be aware of its subliminal effects on you. So a really good artist is not merging with the medium. They're detaching and work with its components. They learn to understand its components. But that requires attachment. So McLuhan is advocating a detachment. Therefore, he's not going to identify with any cultural product he makes. And because to stay in tune to the resonating node that was existence, a simulation of existence, he had to not identify with anything he was doing. So June Calwood did an interview with him in 1974, and I have a copy of it, and he's talking a little bit. McLuhan gets personal, talks a bit about his life. He says all his kids had an identity crisis. And June Calwood says, he says it as if they've lost their mittens. Yeah, they all had identity crisis, But I have the tape of that interview that she cribbed from, or just summarized. In it, McLuhan says, right in the middle of it, he says, I have ESP. And she goes, what? Now, here's a print, academic, university guy. You couldn't talk about having ESP in the 60s, 70s. This was 1974. He says, I have ESP. She says, what do you mean? He says, I can feel it. When a friend of mine's in New Guinea, which would be Ted Carpenter, who was in New Guinea, when a friend of mine's in New Guinea, I can feel it. So, she was stunned by that. You could hear it in the interview, but she doesn't put that in the print version. Now, you go back to an essay in his 1957 explorations called Electronics as ESP. Now, this is a key point. How is electronics ESP? And then in later books, he points out that ESP is a 19th century knee-jerk concept. ESP is this and that. He knows that you have a certain literate version of that ESP. And he needs to break that down. So he doesn't mean ESP as you normally think when he says electronics ESP. He's really saying tactility is ESP. So here we have electronics as an extension of ESP, which is the most paleolithic, intimate environment. When humans first interacted, they didn't call ESP, but they had a very sensitive response. Come on in, take a chair right here. They have a very intimate response with their sensory environment. In retrospect, we romanticize the shame and awareness. We call it right hemisphere and all this. But it's natural. But as McLuhan said, each new invention they made would push their awareness out to the environment. So the tools they made would limit, change the ratios in their original sensitivity. So if electronics has brought us back to a paleolithic sensitivity, then for me to say that we are resonating one node and only one person, one thing can represent it, and therefore there's no relationship, there's no connection with anything, then you understand why Carpenter and McLuhan's book, They Became What They Beheld, starts off with the phrase, only connect. Okay? What are you going to connect with? If we're all one thing, then And you, as McLuhan once asked, will there ever be silence? And he said, objects are unobservable. Only relationships among objects are observable. So that was his answer to will there ever be silence. Well, silence is one object, one thing. They're unobservable. We are in a situation now where we cannot observe our situation. So McLuhan would take old media like a book, and he would offer this as a mirror. But the content of the book we would be writing about all these other media, making aware of the dynamics. So this one book, like Perseus's Mirror, is held up, because you can't look at the Gorgon monster, which is just oneness and has no relationship to anything. You can't get detached from it. So you look at a rearview mirror media. So we have tremendous Baroque spirals and effluence of media, a great renaissance of all former media, movies, TVs, writing books, song, poetry, bulldozers, wars, destruction, architecture. Renaissance 20th century was the greatest century of making things. All of it having the room to run around because people needed any medium to be a mirror to get a perspective on the resonance. But in the end, none of these media have any staying power. None of them. Every one of those media are in a state of panic all the time. So, in the end, no medium, rearview mirror media, have any content. And that's why McLuhan would come back to Finnegan's Wake. A book that in the end has no content, no meaning, no sign you can say this is what it's about. But that was a perfect way to mirror the tactile environment, which has no content. To have content, you've got to have a relationship. You can't observe tactility when it's extended into a digital node. So the term I came up with was Android meme to describe this, because language, or any sharing between humans with any medium, from ESP and language and words up to now, creates a collective habit, which Richard Dawkins calls a meme. But it is a simulated meme now. It's an Android meme, and it's resonating, and it has nothing to connect with. So the image of that Android meme is always the White House, the president. So George Bush, I just want to take a break here, or the guest of honor, Dave Neufeld, coming in. He's the man who made the McLuhan is the Message album and my album. Finally, he's arrived in the McLuhan Center, and even Eric told him that was a good album. And he said to his mother that was a good album. So, let's see here, Dave.
Thank you.
So why does George Bush apparently not finish his sentences? Why does he seem to be dumb? Why doesn't he seem to care what his media image is? Because he's totally appropriate for now. We have now already arrived at the point where we're not swamped by a torrent of images and media, because the media is shrinking, wholly superior to media and information environments. It's instinctive in them. And even in their hip-hop culture, they just sample. They take fragments from different things, they put in a collage. They're not looking, they're doing Finnegan's Wake. You know, it's finally got down to ghetto culture. But that was because the media molded people all through the 20th century made their environments tiny. So the population is not interested in communication as a sense of matching or establishing a point. They just swim through all the media, all the different forms of communication. So the sensibility, the Jerry Springer sensibility, is get on the major centralized media and spit in its face, be an idiot in front of it. You know, this is. And another thing was talk radio. Just rant about Bill Clinton or whatever the icons are, Hillary, what the icons that old centralized media put out, the New York Times and CBS and that. So this anarchy towards any communication in the old meaning of communication as this kind of control matching situation has been satirized by the population. And they did that all through the 90s. And so by the 2000, you're going to have a president who looks like a thug and a cannibal who doesn't even care about the meeting and he wants to finish his sentence. And he still can be popular. He is expressing the sensibility. And we've actually could now confront the point, you know, why should George Bush say anything? Because there's nobody there. It's only him. It's only George Bush. So the industrial structure that he represents is running around in identity crisis trying to locate an enemy, locate a focus for oil, where we're going to move into post-oil things. So we're seeing the Pentagon having a huge identity crisis. And it's a minor identity crisis compared to all the other media. The biggest killer in America is medicine. We have just proven it. Traditionally, they say heart disease and cancer. But the biggest, 3/4 million people die a year. There was only 5,000 people died in Iraq in a little puny war. Okay? So the larger media violence is happening in other realms, and we take the old industrial hardware guys and do what Croker calls abuse value, put them in the White House, and then laugh at them, and they run around. But they've caught on. Bush caught on. He says, yeah, I know you're laughing at me. I don't give a damn about you. You know, I'm just going to ignore you. I have a job here to do for my industrial meme. You know what I mean? And you guys don't need, he said, go shopping. Go about your business. Don't worry about me. I'm just working for my for my meme. So his meme. I remember Frank Zagroni when Bush was campaigning. Frank goes, that guy, man, he eat his mother. Some people respond that way. Now, Frank's an old POB, a literate person, print-oriented bastard. And so he'd be really irritated by a kinetic malibatory who is really Chinese. That's why we have a great relationship with China. Here's an interesting thing McLuhan said about China in the 60s. He said China was the hidden ground of all the things that were going on in the 60s, because it was the most tactile culture. It's Asian, and it was the most paleolithic compared to industrial, a very primitive society. Not in history, but in terms of industry. It was the most backward of the communist bloc. So Stuart Brand or somebody came up with the phrase of the 60s upside down. So what becomes, if the 60s, if China's the ground, then China becomes a figure in the 90s. And it resonates through all the culture. Everybody's worried Clinton had Chinese spies in the White House. He was working with Chinese people. And China becomes the future for industry. And Kissinger spends all the 90s running over to China. So China becomes bigger when you tip over the 60s. Well, now, how was that done? Now we get into the five schools of media ecology. So even though I don't expect you really, I'm miming George Bush. I don't expect people to match what I'm saying, other than little glimmerings, and it doesn't matter that you match, because whatever I'm saying is just a verbal medium and very puny compared to the mixed media that's swarming around us now and inside us. All that media storm, the torrent of images, is happening inside us.